I told you I was coming back. Product reviews, interviews, podcasts. And you know how we do it. We're always
unfiltered.
Ooh, I got something to say. Welcome back, everybody, to the Unfiltered Podcast. We have our panel with us again, and we have some great topics. We have a top three. We narrowed it down, and we're going to see exactly what, if we can agree, disagree, share a new perspective, not only to you, but to the panel as well. And I'm not going to waste any more time. I want to get into this because these topics are hot. There is no pun intended. But first off, let's say hi to our panel, Courtney.
Hi, I'm Courtney Shady. I'm in Virginia in the U.S. I'm a radiation therapist and WBFF amateur.
Woohoo! Zora, say hello.
Hi, I am Zora Wassel, and I commute back and forth from Chicago and Naples, Florida. Right now, I'm in the great windy city of Chicago, and I am the very first 40-plus Miss Diva Bikini.
Bam, bam, bam. Shem, what you got?
What's up? Hey, my name is Shem Best, and I am located in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a WBFF pro, and I'm glad that I could make this session today.
All right, thank you very much. Next up, we have Ellie the Mother Tucker Nutter. What's going on?
Hi, I'm Ellie. I'm from the Philippines, and I'm an WBFF pro amateur, sorry, amateur.
She's already looking in the future. She's already looking in the future. I like that. I like that. Next up, Cage, talk to me. What's going on, Carl?
What's good, everyone? My name's Carl. I'm a personal trainer, WBFF pro, and I'm based out in Bahrain.
All right. And next panelist, say hello, Karina.
Hi, guys. My name is Karina. I am a WBFF pro, and I am coming from Houston, Texas.
Wow. We got a nice international panel from us. You know, we are a little jealous because Ellie is in Fiji right now. So if you're ready to see her backdrop, hers is real. And I have the good old Zoom back end of a, looks like I have a tropical storm coming up. Seems a little windy. But yes, so we have some great topics. I'm excited for everybody to pipe in. And don't forget, if you guys listening also have an opinion, please share it with us. Or if you're interested in being our panel, we are always looking for new people with opinions and be getting your view. But first off, we're going to hit into the fitness side of things. Something that always comes up, regardless whether we think about it or not, whether we read a label or not, it will come up every single day. Let's talk about water. Now, is water water, whether you are having reverse osmosis water, still water, spring water, tap water, adding what's the word I'm looking for, those flavored agents that you put into your water to make it taste good, like Crystal Light and Mio and whatever ounce. Now, what do you guys think? Is water water? So if we were to consume 4 liters of any liquid, does your body treat it like water? And do you think we can drink too much water? Because we know if we drink not enough, we can die. But is there something on the other side of the fence? Anybody want to pipe in on the water game? Maybe, you know, Ellie, because she's surrounded by water. Oh, she's shy.
Well, I think that water is good for you, but too much of everything. Everything in moderation, right? So too much of anything is bad. This is based on actual research and actual studies on people who overconsume. Believe in it, that thing in moderation, and yeah, just don't overdo everything your situation.
I'm able to translate that. I know broken up internet very well. So what I got out of that translation is, yes, anything in moderation is very, very, is fine. But anything, too much of anything is not good for you. There's a lot of scientific facts that have proven that you can be overhydrated and that there are risks associated with it. So yes, it's very real, but generally speaking, keep it in moderation to stay safe and healthy. Was that close? Ah, I knew I had it right. All right, anybody else? Scared of water, loves water, too much water.
So basically, it can cause hyponatremia. So all of the vitamins that we're putting in our body that we're trying to maintain our healthy lifestyles, it gets rid of it all. So if you have more than a gallon of water a day, it can flush out all of the good stuff you're trying to put in. So then you can be at a deficiency and you can also die from that as well. So my first, probably my first month at my newer job, I got a lecture from the radiation oncologist I was working with. And because I drink, you know, this at work, it's just a liter, but I drink, you know, four of them a day. And he says, Courtney, don't drink so much water. I said, well, you don't really know how much I drink a day, but okay, I'm listening. He said his first set of rounds as in the ER, his first patient was hospitalized for hyponatremia and was dying because he flushed out all of his nutrients because he had drunk too much water. So then they had to pump vitamins and nutrition back into him because of that.
Damn. I knew you could get water drunk. I knew you could, you know, get all the minerals removed from your body, but I didn't know that you could actually get extreme and actually die from it.
Mm-hmm. My first WBFF show, I was hospitalized in the ER because after 6 days of a water load, my body couldn't handle it anymore. I was shaking. I actually passed out on the stairs going upstairs and my husband had to catch me. He was walking behind me. It was not good. That's why when I told you that, I'm like, I got to be really careful because I have low blood pressure. And when you drink a lot of water, it increases your blood volume, therefore brings down your pressure even lower. So I've been salting my food because of my low blood pressure since 2009. And I eat a lot of salt. Like, I have to salt everything. Even like if I ate a granola bar, I got to put salt on it just because of that. And my blood pressure stays only about 103 over 73, which is still low. So I got to monitor my water. I can handle, since I'm heavier in weight now, I've noticed that I can handle a gallon of water a day. Sometimes I can't.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I just go by how I feel. If I start feeling kind of, like you said, are you a water drunk? And I'm like, sometimes I drink too much at one time because I get over thirsty. But then that's when the craziness comes in. So I have to drink only like maybe 10 ounces an hour. And then over 12 hours, I got my 120 ounces. You know, it's like I have to really spread it apart.
Yeah, because your body's only able to absorb, I think it's, I'm going to talk liters. I think it's, you can only, like consuming, I think it's just under a liter per hour is what your body's max is being able to absorb. So, you know, when someone's, you know, you see people that have been out in the desert or they've been away from water for a very, very long time. You see, they're only giving them like almost caps full of water at a time because you have to be very, very slow because you can turn your body into that flush system and then you're going to end up into more nutrient loss. Have you ever heard anything like this over there, Carl? Talk to us.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of it. I haven't actually encountered anyone that's gone through drinking too much water. A big problem that, well, a lot of stuff that I face with a lot of my clients out here is people don't drink enough. So usually I'm always battling with people on the other end of the scale where they're not drinking enough water. Even in the heats in this country where it can get up to like 50 degrees and I'll be telling people, we'll sit down, we'll talk at the beginning and I'll try and get them to explain like fully how they eat, how they drink and all that sort of stuff. And I'll be shocked to hear people say they drink literally half a liter a day. And I'm like, what? How are we still standing right now? And they'll complain about the headaches, the dry throat, even down to bad breath, all of these different things as well. And I'm like, well, first of all, we've got to look into this, people, because, you know, some of the stuff like Zora said about blood pressure increasing or decreasing, I should say, down to the nutrient aspect of things. It's insane. But then one thing I've never fully understand is how people can actually function for so long without drinking a lot of water. Like me personally, I can't function. Like my head, I can feel like my head squeezing if I haven't had too much. So I actually don't understand how people can go on. And they've full on just been going through it for a while. Like years of just drinking maybe a liter a day after that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm listening right now.
Yeah. Bodies are so like, it's, I think a lot of us don't understand, or we don't ever think about how resilient our bodies are to abuse. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you look, people aren't drinking water, their health habits, their party habits, their lack of sleep habits, their stress lifestyle, like day in, day out, month in, year out, you know, some, we beat the crap out of our bodies. Even, you know, as we're getting going to the gym, and you know, we're forcing weight onto our body and putting on weights that our body isn't used to handling. And then we're throwing in a bunch of food and cardio. So, I mean, we beat up our bodies a lot. And the fact that it's able to function as long and as healthy as it can, but it does have a limit. And I think that's where a lot of people, they figure, you know, I get away with no water for one day. Well, then, and I still felt good. I was still able to dot my periods, cross my T's. Well, what's 2 days? And they naturally start forgetting about it. But then they don't realize there may be other things that they're now forgetting. Like maybe I forgot my keys, or, oh, what was I saying? Or, oh man, I'm just so tired, or I have this headache, or my mouth, like you said, my mouth is, it's funny. And they just equate it to something else. Oh, I must be tired. Oh, or I had too much coffee. And it's, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, our bodies don't have, it has filters, but it can't take a water and crystal light or water and meal, anything that we add flavoring to it. We don't have that filter inside to separate all the chemicals from that, you know, crystal light, and then turn it back into water. So some people, they say, yeah, I drink a gallon of water a day, but I'm putting in my little fruity drinks, and that way, that's the only way I can get it in. Well, that's great, but you still aren't really hydrating your body. You know, same thing with reverse osmosis. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's, you know, when you boil water, you get your condensation, and the condensation leaks into a storage container, and that's what you drink. But there's zero minerals in it. It's actual zero mineralized water. So people always, like, when people love distilled water because they say it tastes better, I don't know what the water is like where they live, but I'm like, you have to put trace minerals back in, because reverse osmosis water will actually pull minerals out. So there's a lot to water. And I'm really glad that Zora brought it up, because they do go together. So, Karina, did you want to start talking about the water, or do you want to bring it off with the salt? Because we're going right into the salt topic. Where you want?
Well, you know, I wanted to add on to that, because several years ago, we've always been huge water drinkers. That's not something we lack. But we also had a little issue where Josh was working in the fields, and he was drinking a lot of water, but he was still dehydrated. So at that point, we resorted to changing our water to alkaline water, and that just has made a huge improvement for us. So, I mean, you know, yeah, you could drink a lot of water, but then you also got to look at the quality of the water.
pH water. Totally forgot to, and that's another factor. It's brand new. What, we'll get into that. Remember talking about the pH. That's going to come up with our last question. And I think a lot of people fear water like they fear salt. But if you look at what our body's made of, we need salts, an essential mineral. We need water because our body's mostly water. But the minute that we swell up a little bit, just a little bit, it's not, we don't want to blame what the quality of the food it was. They're like, oh, it was extra salty. Well, yeah, those four pretzels, those salted pretzels with cheese on it, yeah, it was pretty salty, but you're probably blowing up from other things. But people fear salt. And, you know, they're like, oh, I haven't had salt in 6 months, or I've never had salt, or, oh, my coach told me never, ever have salt, or they're pulling out their salt, you know, 3-4 weeks before the show. And I have a great opinion on it, but I just wanted to see, you know, what do you guys think about the whole, now salt, we'll stick to Himalayan. We all know that table salt is no bueno. We'll stick to actual sea salt, Himalayan salt, pink salt, anything but table salt. Guys, love it, hate it, use it. Should use it, don't use it. What do you got for me?
I don't use salt at all. I don't do anything with salt. One of the reasons is you know, I feel like it swells me. And then prior to me working out and as much as I do now, I had a issue with high blood pressure. So I was always moderate with my salt intake. But now that I don't do salt at all, immediately when I taste something that has salt in it, I can't digest it. It's too salty. And it may only be a little bit of salt, but it just tastes too salty for me.
Salt
just depends on our anatomy. Just depends if we, you know, our hearts can handle it or not. Yeah. And I see salt as not as a sodium. Sodium byproducts aren't salt. Salt is sodium chloride. And that is different. That's something we need. We don't necessarily need the sodium byproducts, the sodium phosphates, the sodium benzoates, the preservatives, the other types of quote unquote salts, but they're not salts. It's sodium, but sodium is not a salt. It's, I can't get into that at the moment.
I think we get it.
I don't think we understand how passionate you are about this. What you're saying is that you do one shakes or two.
Sodium is an element. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sodium is essential for life, right? It helps with circulation. It helps with absorbing nutrients. And it kind of, my perspective is kind of going to go with the hyponatremia. So we sent a patient to the hospital the other day and turns out he had a sodium deficiency. He was drinking too much water and flushing out all of his, he wasn't adding salt to his, even sea salt. He wasn't adding anything to his diet. And we deal with chemo patients, so they're already dehydrated. Anyway.
And you can get strokes if you're low in sodium.
Well, he was moving really slow. You think someone's moving slow down the hill, down the hall. It's like a shuffle every 10 to 15 seconds. You're like, okay, this is not normal. And then he went to the restroom and we were trying to get him out of the restroom and he couldn't turn. We're trying to get him to conceptualize turning, and he would just run into the door and back up, run into the door and back up. So his sodium deficiency contributed to his brain not functioning properly, his lack of translating words into actions. So salt is necessary, but like Ellie said, you can overdo it as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I immediately, if I have something with salt, like too much salt, in my opinion, my head immediately, I can feel it like instantly. Like head is on a whole nother level. So I just try to avoid it because I don't like that feeling at all.
And now in my diet, I don't add anything I don't add salt to anything other than the Himalayan because I remember your lecture, Nate, about the table salt. And
I do.
Great, my lecture.
It's so not good for you. Yeah, I think Himalayan is good. And there's also this thing called Celtic salt. I don't know if you came across it. It has so many minerals in it that's natural and that's good for your body. So I think it's just being mindful of the salt you use and how much. Again, like Courtney said, like everything in moderation, like absolutely for your body.
Yeah, moderation and consistency, right? And that's where the part where some people, it's the same thing if someone goes carbless, you know, for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, as soon as you eat that carb, your body's going to be like, oh my God, thank you for that carb. And it will potentially store it because it doesn't know when you're going to feed it again. And then, and that's where that little swell. So same thing, you know, Shem, if you don't have anything salty, you have something salty, your body may be like, oh my God, thank goodness we have some salt. Let's store it for a couple of days and use it for later. And that's why, you know, it's the hard part. And I understand it too, the psychology where as soon as you implement a new part of your nutrition regime or training regime, we automatically think that our body should look better. It's like, oh my God, I added salt. I'm going to wake up more lean. Or, oh wow, we've added carbs. I should end up getting leaner as well. But there is an adjustment period where you have to have the right amount of water, be consistent with your salt. So then again, your body understands that there's going to be a consistent external addition because the amount that we talk, the amount that we sweat, the amount that we move every single day, we're always getting rid of those essential minerals. And that's why, you know, talking about salt as it is, our body needs certain minerals in order for it to be healthy. And we have to make sure that we keep it at that balanced state. And that it can get very, very dangerous when you pull out your, let's say someone's used to having sodium in their food, even natural food with sodium. As you get closer to a goal, the first thing they do is they take out anything that has sodium in it. So they have zero sodium. And if you ever look in the essentials of what, you know, look, listen to Courtney's story. When you have none, your brain's even foggy. So you have brain fog. Mm-hmm. Now you have carb depletion fog, you have dehydration fog, and then now you have salt fog. You're living in the fog. A little bit of tribute to DMX on that one, rest his soul. But I mean, I don't know who caught on to that one.
I got it.
But it's a very scary topic where, you know, if your blood pressure is too low, you need to have salt. If your blood pressure is too high, you got to watch your salt. So it's also understanding that we need to be aware of our health, our current state, where, you know, get your blood work done. Go see a doctor 2-3 times a year. You know, go to check to see, you know, go get your checkups, massage. It's all about health. And going by what we see in the mirror, we all know people that have looked healthy and weren't. Like, how many stories have we heard of somebody, you know, that we know of or has been spoken of that they were 35, 40, healthy, ran every single day, and they dropped of a heart attack?
Yeah.
Where we like it, yeah. It isn't how we look does not dignify our health. And we should, anyone that's serious in it should be looking at doing blood work or talking to your doctor, you know, 2-3 times a year, just to make sure we're on the right path, to have a borderline saying, oh, I've been high blood pressure my whole life. Or based on, you know, where you're from, you know, brothers and sisters have a little bit higher cholesterol.
Yeah.
And does it mean that we have to be on cholesterol medicine? No. Are we at a higher risk of someone that isn't? No. But there are, you can and it can't, but we just have to be aware to see if our numbers are going up in a bad way or if they're going down in a bad way. And then you can see if your lifestyle is healthy. It's the same thing for intermittent fasting. Certain windows work great for some. Certain windows cause hormonal and health issues for other. We just have to be conscious of it. Which brings me into my favorite topic. Well, it's not my favorite, but it's my favorite for now. Because I'm curious. Because we were just talking before this whole podcast started about technology. And I want to hear from everybody on this one, because everybody has a different idea of what they do use and don't use. Is technology is here to make our lives better, they say. Technology is here as well to make our lives more simple, easier. We don't have to leave the house as much, because look, we're in how many countries right now? We're doing a podcast versus this was not anything possible in 5-6 years ago. But in the fitness world, not for competitors only, but do you think technology, as people are starting to find the easy button for other things, automated cars, cell phones that now are able to, you know, scan your body for a broken bone or do an ECG or stuff like that, is technology helping bodies turn into the next bionic look, or is it feeding what I like to call the easy lazy button, where now it's, hey, you can now be shredded in 20 minutes, but yet, can you? What do you think? Technology a hindrance or help in the fitness world?
Bit of both, I would say.
I say know. Both too.
I agree.
I hear both, but I don't hear anybody backing up the both. Why both?
So like, kind of like what you said before, Nate, in terms of, there's some technologies that are coming out and how they're probably intended to be used. You've got some people jumping on the wave and being like, well, actually, no, this bit of technology is going to make you super shredded in 20 minutes, i.e. the EMS, when probably how it's intended to use, or probably how it would probably be more beneficial, is maybe with rehabilitation and stuff like that, as to oppose, this is going to make you super shredded. And it's a way of people looking at it and be like, well, actually, no, I just have to do that for 20 minutes. I don't actually have to put that amount of effort into the gym. I just do that a couple times a week and there we go, I'm winning. But then on the flip side of that, there's also some technologies that are coming up that, as you said, some of the things that are coming up with the phones, so that you will be able to do your blood work and be able to send it and all these different things, where it can help. And it'll be easier for us in terms of cutting down time. The fact that you can get something done so quickly and get the results back just as quicker, which will kind of help our lives a little bit more as well. So I guess a bit of both. Just depends on what end of the scale you're looking at, you know? There's a lot of cowboys in the industry. that sell dreams.
Yes, that is a good term. Because I think, yeah, Zora, you mentioned that you do some EMS work. Now,
well, I have a bad knee, and I was a cross country runner in high school and college. And in order for me to put weight on my knee, I need to kind of like stimulate the knee first a little bit to kind of like emoliate it. However, I don't agree with the stimulation for building muscle, because then you're taking that load off the body for osteoporosis and you're not building your bone mass. So can you build the muscle tissue and the ligaments to help perform? I use it for a performance base to enhance, to help me push through the load, because otherwise I'm in a lot of pain, but that stimulation takes away out of my brain to say no pain, because it's focusing on that stimulation. I'm not receiving the pain receptors that says, oh my gosh, my knee is going to blow out, I'm going to back off so then I can push through it. But you need that load for your bone mass, so the actual stimulation isn't creating anything for your bones.
Good angle. I mean, we have some great medical background in this panel. I didn't even plan to hear some of these great words backing up, and very, very crucial information, where Zora uses it not to replace, but to enhance, and also with the neuromuscular connection with pain receptor, able to bypass it in order for her to get her workout complete.
I have the same medical background as Courtney. I'm a radiologic technologist, and I did nuclear medicine, so I understand like her background as well. And I went to school for biochem and pharmaceuticals with an emphasis of sports medicine and nutrition. That's what I graduated in, but then went back to school for radiology. So I worked in a physical therapy outfit in the 90s as a personal trainer, but basically I just had to make sure elderly didn't fall off their machines.
That's a good thing. So they can sit and stay.
So I do have the background, and I've always used it, but this is what I do for me. Mm-hmm.
It's great. Anybody else? Anybody's tried any kind of new technology? Zap, zap. I know, Karina, you've done some of the blood restriction bands, which for people that haven't heard of it, well, this is new to me. Probably, I guess, COVID, I lose track of time. So I'm going to say new to 2021 for me. And it's a band that you put around a muscle belly that causes more. Karina, talk to us. Talk to us about this restriction band.
Okay. So this was actually given to me as a gift. Okay. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of it. I have several personal trainers who use them and they swear by them. So what it does, it really basically restricts the blood flow and it causes a pump, and it's supposed to expand the muscle in simple terms. Okay. Help growth. Okay. So one of my weaknesses is my glutes. So I don't believe in surgery on the glutes. That's just my personal opinion, you know? So I was like, okay, well, what can I do to help myself? I kick my behind at the gym every single day, you know, hands down, at least I think so. And I was like, what else can I do? So when they gave me these straps, I was like, let me give them a try. Do they work? I don't know yet. I don't know. I can't really vouch for that yet. I've seen people swear by them. But for me personally, I just want to see what kind of results I'll have. What do I feel when I'm working them out? I do feel a huge pump in the glutes when I'm working out. And I've actually started using them while I'm doing the Stairmaster too. But it's also helped me to really make that muscle and mind connection to really make sure that I'm actually working out the muscle. As far as anything else I can give you, I can't give you anything else. Because I don't know, and I've only been using them for maybe a month now. So have I seen drastic changes? No, I have not. And you could tell by my measurements. But, as of right now, will I continue to use them? Yeah, I'm going to continue to use them till show and see if I actually see a significant difference. That's all
I bought a set of those, and I was afraid to use it. After I bought them, I had like buyer's remorse because I thought about it. I'm like, you know, this can cut off the femoral artery. And I'm like, this can be.
That's why I didn't use mine. I have some too. I tried them too.
And I'm like, I don't know if I should do that, because you really got to monitor how much blood flow you're cutting off, especially in your femoral artery. That's a major blood source. And I'm just like, I don't know how tight I should use this or how, I mean, were you instructed how to use it properly?
Because I actually wasn't instructed. However, I've kind of managed to get it. And I'll be honest with you, mine are not really that tight. I can literally fit my hand still in there. And, you know, probably my other friends would be like, they're not tight enough, but I don't care because I'm like you. I want to make sure that I still have enough blood flow that I'm not going to kill myself either, you know? But no, I completely agree with you on that, Zora and Shem. But there's enough restriction to have a pump, but not to kill the circulation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's. I think you hit a few things on the, like, there's one thing that you said, I'm like, there it is. Where the fact that people have been using an idea where someone's doing an arm curl, you know, you'll see guys grab their bicep and feel it squeeze, right? They're doing a leg extension. They'll grab the quads and then they'll feel the muscle go. So they get that mind and body connection, you know, and that's where, you know, you put the bands on, you're actually able to feel that muscle work because again, it's connected and your body actually feels tension. So it's actually now focused on that band. Now, generally speaking, the more damage that we do to a muscle, the more that muscle will grow. So that's why when we're sore, we're actually sore because we've done some minor tearing to the muscle. And then as the muscles are torn, they heal bigger and so forth. Now getting into keeping a muscle healthy is what is the best way for muscle growth as well. Could you say that there could be some fascial reconstruction with a, you know, blood isolation band? I guess, because if you look, there's another term, another piece of equipment called voodoo floss, and it's that thin rubber band. And it's about 5 feet long, and you wrap for tennis elbow, for bad biceps, triceps, you wrap it around your arm up to your elbow, so the joint above and below, and it's like a boa constrictor. It literally tightens all the muscles around, and you go through a range of motion, and it's breaking down a lot of the fascia and a lot of the tension in the muscle. Then you take the band off, and then you feel a rush of blood that goes right into that area. And they say it takes in the toxins and rushes it out, where you can have someone with tennis elbow have great results in a treatment or two. So blood restriction isn't necessarily something new, where back in the medical world, they used to what was called bloodletting, where they would actually cut you and let you bleed out, thinking that would get rid of a lot of the sickness. So it's kind of neat where technology, I could see a use for it, but I think they need to be very, very careful for exactly what Zora said. You know, you have your femoral artery sitting right there. You know, even when you're doing it with your biceps, there's a lot of nerve spindles and a lot of nerve endings that if you cause some sort of damage, is it worth that bigger bicep? Is it worth that bigger leg? Because I've seen some ladies have it so tight that that band is almost the same width as their leg. So that's how much they've squished it, that you could actually put a pair of pants over top and you wouldn't see that band actually bigger than the size of their leg. And I'm like, wow. There's a lot of risk with that. But what are your thoughts about other technology where, you know, these suits, is it making it better or easier, or do we still have to rely on the iron, the food, and the rest?
For sure. You have to do the iron. You got to move the muscle. I mean, the weight, mm-hmm. That's a must. You gotta do the work. Yes, you have to. Same thing with your food. And your water, it's got to be on point in order for you to truly see any changes. And like Zora said, it's like, what's the point of using all these, you know, like for example the EMS, if you're not building that muscle mass, the bone mass. So it's like, yeah, you're growing this, but can you really handle what the muscle and what its point is supposed to be, you know, if you're just kind of artificially feeding it, but what's, are you going to be able to handle the rest, you know? I don't know if that makes any sense.
It's like technology is making people so dependent on shortcuts and fast solutions because everyone wants immediate gratification, instant gratification. So they think that if they take the shortcut, they'll get there faster, but really there is no shortcut to it. You really have to work hard. So at the end of the day, they're just wasting their money and they're making damage to their minds because they think that this elixir of health and whatever, this tool will help them, but really it's damaging their minds most of all. That's what I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree as well. I think because it's kind of like the danger of supplementation as well. A lot of people that actually understand supplements and will pride their supplements a lot higher than their nutrition, basically. And be like, oh, do you think I need to take this? And these times you're not even getting the right amount of calories that you need for the day. But you think this Get Lean 500 is going to help you get your goals in, what, 3 weeks or 2 weeks? So again, I guess it just comes with education though, right? I guess that's what we have to kind of do with the people that we encounter, and just everyone that's within the industry, just keep educating people so that they don't make these mistakes over and over and over again. Like the sweat belt, which is another thing as well.
Oh, we could have a long list. You know what we should do on our next panel? We should make a long list, and we'll just spend 1 minute on each. We'll be like, okay, this thing, love it, hate it. And we'll be like, nope, bang, bang, bang. And this is why. Because it is true, like you do have a placebo effect. And you know, whether or not, if you believe something, your body will respond positive. So if you believe that band or that pill or whatever it may be is going to help you, it's probably going to help you. What I find is that it can also create a dependency. So let's say, Karina, I'm just going to pick on you just because you have the bands, you've been using it. So let's say Karina steps on stage and now is the best she's ever looked. She gets an overall title. Allison and Paul jump up on the stage, grab her and whirl her around on such an amazing physique she's had. And holy shit, you are going to become the cover girl for the next 5 years. And you're now a shareholder of the WBFF. The next time that she goes to compete, do you think that she'll try to work without those bands?
No chance.
Right?
So I have to tell you something on that, okay? That's funny that you mentioned that. So, you know, I got into the habit of using them, right? And just this past, what's today, Sunday? I'm so lost. I don't know what day it was. On Friday, I didn't wear them. And I, in my mind, which is so funny that you bring that up, I'm like, oh, I didn't put my straps on. I was like, oh, whatever. I pushed through. And it was funny though, because now, and it was that whole placebo effect. I was very, very conscious of that muscle and mind connection, even more so than I had before I was using those straps. So is it something I use every day? No, it's not, but it's something that I honestly was kind of testing out. Will I continue to use them? I don't know. Maybe if I remember to put them on.
It helped you train the brain. It helped you train the brain. Exactly. Exactly. Courtney?
Yeah.
So because I didn't know anything about it while we were chatting, I looked it up. Apparently it's been around since the 1960s and was used for martial arts in Japan. So there have been several studies on what's more effective, and whether it's the BFR or high intensity or just straight up strength training. And it was high intensity was actually comparable to muscle gain with the BFR. So just for your peace of mind, your booty still got its workout.
You're still good. And we've been doing it since the 60s. But that's, I mean, it's something that we'll always see, because you can only create so many new things out there. Right. There's only so much technology where you're going to find some of the old coming into the new. Like even looking what Zort, like it's great how you're using the bands. You've noticed also that it's helped you get a better connection. Zora uses EMS to help push her through for some brain cognitive washing to let her get a workout in, because she knows she can push through. But as we feel pain in an area, naturally, that's all we think about is ow, 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 ow. So she's found a solution. So I think technology is great when it's used for how it was intended. It's terrible when it's underused and understood, because again, we try it once, we don't understand that we don't have bigger quads or better abs or better ass in T minus 1 week. Or if we over and abuse it, we're still gonna have a negative onset and say, wow, that BFR, it's garbage. It made me lose my leg. Right? So it's more or less of the user beware, understanding how to implement it, just like supplements, to enhance your look, but it's never ever going to replace the idea of work ever. And I mean, I pick on Oprah all the time, not in a bad way, but you know, Oprah, they said, you know, one of the most successful women that has tried every single diet plan out there, and she still wasn't able to lose her weight, and she gave away all of her small clothes. This was long, long time ago. But it goes to show that technology can't change some things about our body. Yeah, they might be able to change our DNA and everything else inside of us to morph us into something, which they are working on. But generally speaking, hard work, dedication, consistency, but also educating yourself to understand what you are doing. Don't rely on your coach. Your coach isn't there to go ahead and tell you everything, the goods and bads, because what may be good and bad to them may not be good and bad to you. So you have to educate yourself, and don't just Google, will hydroxycut 365 P724 make me shred it in 6 weeks? Every company spends millions of dollars on SEO to make sure that answer is yes. If your research, has anyone gotten sick from hydroxycut PS42775? Oh, Zora's one.
Metabolite.
Herbalife. Yeah.
Metabolite, like in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to eat those candy bars like they were food.
Yeah. We used to have fat burners that you would go to your supplement store, and nothing illegal, like, you know, like clenbuterol and like nothing anabolic, but use like, you got those good fat burners? And they would be like, hang on. And then they go in the back and they have this little pill bottle that has something like 6,000 milligrams of caffeine, 35 of ephedrine. And then it has aspirin. So they're doing an ECA stack and they're like, take this, right? And you can't sleep for 6 days.
That's the Alka-Seltzer plus cold medicine that Canada still sells, that the United States did not sell anymore.
Hey. Yeah, but you guys get the Benadryl with the good stuff in it. We don't got no Scizerp up here.
I have to say something. You mentioned Herbalife. For the longest time, this was a couple of years ago, we used to have Herbalife literally chasing us around because they wanted us to, you know, sell their stuff. And we're like, no, thank you. We want nothing to do with it, right? And then so what would happen is we would have some of their people, their sales reps, come train with us and come buy our foods, because at that point we were doing meal prepping. And then they would go out and say, hey, these are the results we got from Herbalife. Oh, man, that would make me so angry. But at the end of the day, it was like, where's your integrity? You know, so I'm right there with you. It's like it's all false advertising.
Or beware, right? Like it's I see the side of I guess I am kind of depending. I do see the side of a business where I don't see if someone were to say, hey, you know what? If you put this filler, that isn't going to really hurt anybody. It might give somebody the poops, but we can double your profits. And now we're going to go from a $250,000 company to a $6 million a year company. Most people are going to be like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. So I think a lot of buyer beware, because we all know that not all supplements are what they say. What they claim are yes, but not of what's in each scoop is going to be in each one of those as what these studies proclaim. BCAAs is great, where the amount of BCAAs that you need to get the results that they claim, the amount is astronomical. So they aren't lying. They are just telling you that if you had enough of these amino acids, these are the results you would get. It just happens that our product has these amounts, I mean, these amino acids, but it's not the amount that we need to get those results. So Courtney's saying something.
So basically we need the whole little jar in one sitting just to get.
Potentially, it depends how many fillers, the quality of it. But if anyone has ever, one day, years ago, I did order pure raw amino acids. So methionine.
Amino acid shots.
That would be way better than the pure amino acid, like arginine, methionine. Arginine was another one. The actual smell of amino acids is disgusting. It is like no breath you have ever smelt. It is horrendous. And when I went and I took it and I took the scoops and I had the worst taste in my mouth for hours. But companies know. No one's going to have it. So they have to do something to make it taste good, or else no one's going to have it. I remember when I did my very first protein shake probably 20 years ago, and it was vanilla. It tasted like dirty baby diapers. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. But you would sit there and you plug your nose and you got clumps because it didn't mix. And you're like, I got to get big. And you're chugging it. And then you're like, ah, right. So for us, we just did it because we had to. And then taste buds counted. So things are a little bit different. But it's neat to see how the industry has changed over the past 20, 30 years. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen in the next 20 years with technology and understanding. So maybe the fact that we can figure out if we're healthier at home, so we don't have to go to a doctor, Because some people are scared, and same thing with healthcare, it might be a financial thing. Also, educating people. You know, we have to learn to educate people. Moderation is the number one thing. I'm not anti anything. Just keep it in moderation, keep it safe, and make sure that you're okay, because side effects happen to anyone. So nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to have this supplement in order, and I hope to shut down my kidneys. It just happens. So you have to be aware of the goods and the bads, and then you can make your decision. Get lots of blood work in. Make sure that you're healthy. Make sure you're always consulting with your doctor. Talk to a health professional, for crying out loud. Don't rely on what you read on Instagram, because what is on there, we're told, is true, but then we're told nothing on there is true. So you know what? Do your own research. And whether it's salt, whether it's water, it is something that our body needs. So make sure you are consciously making sure your body has that. And don't buy into the hype. Do what works for you. There is no shortcut. Hard work is the number one thing, day in and day out. Some people win the lottery, but again, odds of it being us are very, very little. So the ones that work the hardest, the longest, are going to be the most successful. Guys, thank you very much for joining on the podcast. Something that I like to do on the end, is there someone that you want to give a shout out to? I'm going to start with Shem. Anybody want to say, hey, Zora, you're going to be up next. And we're going to go from there. So Shem, any shout out? What's your Instagram? Who do you want to say hi to?
I want to say hi to everybody on this panel, to my coach, Nate. Thank you for letting me be involved. My Instagram is Shimmy Young Pro on Instagram. And that's it. In my WBFF family.
Hey, Zora, what you got? I know you got a list.
No, I can't. The list is way too long. So I just have to give a shout out to my awesome, amazing coach, Nathan Harwood. Yeah. Thank you, buddy, for always like keeping it real with me and letting me know the facts. And my WBFF family. IG, thank you so much for supporting me in everything. I love you guys.
Right on, right on. Mother Taka, what do you got from Fiji?
Oh, it's nice and sunny right now, so I'm sending you the heat of the sun because I know it's snowing there. And thank you for having me, and thank you for this podcast and the Dominate Squad. I'm really learning a lot. My Instagram is Fiber Fitness Bodies. So that's it. Thank you.
And she is the creator, as when you see something coming out, you know, Thick and Fit, Fitathlete, Bikini Fit. Ellie is the creator of our new cartoon characters of the Dominate Squad. Nice. Thank you for your artistic.
Ooh, yes, awesome. That was her.
Nice, Ellie. Nice.
Yes, yes. Courtney, wow. What do you got?
Sorry, I was muted. I don't really have any shout outs other than thanks, Nate, for doing this and always taking care of us and providing us with the best information and the Dominate community, because none of this would be possible without all of them.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, Carl, what you got? Shout out.
Yeah, no shout outs from me. Again, just thanks, Nate, for inviting me in. It's been a good podcast. I've definitely learned some new stuff. And yeah, my Instagram is Cage Active. That's it, really.
Karina.
Thanks again for having me today. And I just want to say thank you, Nate. I've learned a lot. I haven't been with you much, for a long time, but I've learned a lot and I'm loving the results. So thank you. And I'm really excited. And it's really awesome to be in this team, to meet a lot of very knowledgeable people, and the grind never stops. And I love it. So thank you again, and excited because we're going to Worlds, guys. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hey.
See you at Worlds. Yes,
babe.
Yes,
thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
And yeah, Worlds, Karina.
Coming up, we're 16 short weeks. And, I want to send a shout out and thank you as well to everyone else in Dominate, the community, and everybody in the past 22 years. Courtney, you've been around a very long time. Thanks for never giving up. She's bringing her best to the stage this year. Shem, she's got that WBFF pro status. She's up at the crack of dawn at her boot camps, nonstop, won't stop. Ellie, no matter where she's traveling, whether it's from the east to the west, over coast or back, she's always got her nutrition on point, grabbing coconuts for weight and resistance. And anybody that knows Zora, oh my goodness, she is somebody that will take the shirt off of her back in a rainstorm just to help keep someone warm and dry. So thank you, Zora, for everything that you've done helping anyone. That was not the intent, but it's thanking you for everything that you have done for everyone, even people that you know you have not touched, you have. So thank you for never changing who you are. Carl, man, we've talked a ton. You are truly an inspiration of how you're able to put your family first. You got it, you know, you got a young one at home, you got your wife at home, and you are willing to do whatever it takes to keep them happy. Your priority is being what I see as a true man. So thank you for sharing, and, you know, hopefully that emulates to other men around. And Karina, you thanks, did Coach. The big, huge jump, and you came over to dominate. You came with open eyes, open mind, and you're willing to push every single week. I can see that your dedication's paying off. So it is, your guys' thanking me is very heartwarming, but it's because of who you are that allows me to do what I can for you guys, because this is what it is. It's a community. Whether we are with each other, whether we aren't, whether we speak the same language, whether we don't, it's all about everyone coming together to help each other, knowing that there's a bigger cause than just a crown or a pro card. It's helping. It's showing people that you can be more than just a crown or a statue, that there we are human beings. And you guys, this is why Dominate is still alive and growing. So thank you very much for everyone. We're going to end this podcast. You guys did great. We'll see you next month. You guys that are listening, if you have a topic, please let us know, and we're going to see if we can get Zora to cry once or twice on the next one. No, I'm kidding. I just did that just for reaction. Again, because everyone here, you know, we're taking time out of our day. We're volunteers. It is opening ourselves out to others, and I just want everyone to know everyone in this panel are rock solid people, and that's why you guys are part of this group, is because you guys are more than what we just see on Instagram, and the world needs to see more of this. They need more of you going out. So thank you for being part of this panel. Enjoy whatever Sunday you have left. Or I think for Ellie, enjoy your Monday. And we'll see you guys on the Instagram, WhatsApp, or somewhere on